Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed was away last week. Glad you're feeling better this week, Ed. And there's a fair bit for us to talk about kicking off this week as I look on my screen and I am seeing a lot of red. The U.S. markets are down. Yields continue to rise, which means bonds are down. Individual sectors across the board seem to be fading a bit today, whether it's energy, financials, emerging markets. I have all these in front of me. Even the gold stocks are down as gold is up. One thing that is standing out to me, though, that is up today is the U.S. dollar on the dollar index, pretty much right at 100 as we are recording this. Now, the dollar has just continued to show strength. In all fairness, throughout this year and even through most of last year, the dollar has been on a pretty steady uptrend. What's your takeaway from the continued strength in the dollar and now the dollar at 100 on the dollar index?
It's fascinating to see King Dollar does not want to give up its crown. And when you take a look at what's happened with Treasury yields, I flabbergasted the 10-year Treasury yield at 2.76%. This is a market that is convinced there's nothing that's going to change the Fed from aggressively tightening monetary policy here. And we have the March inflation report, which is everyone is expecting that 8% handle. This is going to probably be the peak for inflation. This is going to really, I think, be a key moment that is going to you know, justify a lot of these aggressive, you know, half point rate hike calls that I think everyone is expecting to happen at the May 4th meeting and also at the June 15th one. So there's little that can change this aggressive start to tightening that the Fed will undergo, and that as we start to see what's happening, there's still a tremendous amount of uncertainty though with what's going to happen with growth. I still think the likelihood of a recession over the next 12 months is still very low, even though people have no idea, you know, how long this war in Ukraine is going to last, how long our pricing pressure is going to remain. And there's expectations that you're probably going to see investors are going to become a little bit worried here that you might have some of those commodity pressures remain elevated, and the global economic recovery is not going to be evenly distributed, and I think that there's going to be continued talk of central bankers needing to talk tough on rates and inflation. And you're probably going to see this is a difficult environment for risk appetite. And as you have traders with an unsure path of as far as, you know, well, how aggressive will the Fed be, you know, during, you know, the peak of summer? I think that July 27th meeting is really where, you know, the question marks are. You know, are we going to see them start to tap on the brakes as far as tightening? Are they going to go back down to 25 basis points? How aggressive are they going to still be with that balance sheet reduction? So there's a lot of question marks in place, and right now, you're seeing the easy trade is that widening interest rate differential, and that's driving the dollar higher. The NASDAQ is getting crushed right now, and you're still seeing there is optimism that this earnings season, which is right around the corner, you're still going to see some, you know, pretty good results. There's expectations that the consumer is still able to handle these price increases, but this is a market that is unsure of how to really position itself. So we're seeing a lot of red on the screen today, and I think it's a wake up call for a lot of investors because they got so used to buying the dip, and then right now, I think you have to be a little bit more strategic on how you position yourself, and you can't just be buying the NASDAQ on whatever weakness it provides.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary that people are uncertain here, and that the risk appetite has been rather muted, probably because not just the war in Ukraine, but as you mentioned, that they're not sure how aggressive the Fed is going to remain when we get into the summer months. Everybody kind of anticipates two more half point rate hikes. And I think maybe some of the weakness we're seeing is just an anticipation of how much further will they go after that. And nobody wants to stick their neck out and get really aggressive and try to bid things higher. So even though we've seen the general markets have a nice rebound over the last couple of weeks, there doesn't seem to be the same kind of fuel there that you mentioned, that buy the dip fuel. Do you think that's going to be the case for the remainder of the year in the general markets, where there's going to be a more tepid nature? And do you think that people are wanting to see inflation numbers peak at this next one and then start trailing down to have more confidence to get back in the markets?
I think what's really kind of surprised a lot of investors, and I think when we're talking about inflation, I feel like the last several times we've talked about, most of the drivers for inflation have been about what's happened with the war in Ukraine and how important Ukraine and Russia commodities are utilized across the world. And what's really been the focal point over the last couple of weeks is China is losing the war against COVID right now, and China is starting to see greater lockdowns, is starting to see there's concerns that you're going to have continued supply chain issues, disruptions that are really going to just add more inflationary pressures here. And I think that there's a big concern that this was kind of unexpected. So I think that the inflationary outlook here is really up in the air, because if we're continuing to talk about China in a few weeks' time with dealing with more lockdowns, and if we're unfortunately battling more variants or some other major setback from China, then you're really going to see that have a major impact here with across several sectors, especially the chip space, and I think that is something that the market was not really anticipating. So there's unfortunately still a tremendous amount of uncertainty as far as this is really going to impact inflation over these next few months. And while we've seen a lot of commodity prices come back down to earth, and that's why a lot of people are anticipating that this March inflation report to be the peak. We're still going to see inflation be elevated, these next, few or several months. So I think that, this is one of the more difficult environments, I think, for traders. But for the long-term investor, I think you still have to remain mostly optimistic about the economy. This is not an opportunity where you say you want to be all in on just, let's say, tech stocks or one particular sector. I think you definitely want to have a good basket of exposure across some consumer staples. Take advantage of energy. I think energy stocks are still going to have tremendous they're going to have a good few years, because I think even though we've seen weakness in oil, I think that's we're still going to have elevated oil prices just because of the supply and demand dynamics for the next few years. Financials are probably going to remain, I think, somewhat attractive here. But this is a market where it's there's a lot more question marks here, and I think that you're probably going to see a more range bound until range bound trading until we really have a better sense of will the Fed dove the former doves of the Fed, are they going to be able to kind of reassert their true selves later this summer? And but right now, I think there's this expectation. We could see the Fed remain pretty aggressive in tackling inflation, not just these next two meetings, but possibly into the fall.
Well, Ed, just to maybe augment that discussion on inflation, I mean, the textbook definition for inflation is an increase in the money supply leads to inflationary pressure. So a lot of people were expecting to see some inflationary pressure creep in long before we started getting headlines about supply chain interruptions or even the Ukraine. I mean, we've had a year of rising CPI readings since last March, and it's only continued. And we may be getting near the peak because of the year over year. But when you look at things like rent going up 15 to 20%, that's not supply chain. That's not Ukraine. When you look at healthcare services going up double digits, that's not supply chain. That's not Ukraine. When you look at the cost of movie tickets, when you look, I mean, really services, inflation is in all areas of life, goods and services. A lot of the domestic food supply has nothing to do with wheat grown in Ukraine. There's food costs going up across the board. And so what you're seeing is inflation set in, not just because of supply chain, not just because of war in Ukraine, but for over a year, we're seeing the results of all of this excessive liquidity that's been sloshing around the markets. And so when the Fed says they're going to tackle inflation, A, they're the most behind the curve they've ever been. So they've got to get aggressive because they're starting so late. They started at a zero rate when it was already near 8%. Do you think their game plan, again, is that they hope that the year-over-year numbers start coming down and trending lower in CPI as they're raising rates, and that maybe that brings things a little bit closer to balance? Because there's no way they can normalize rates and get the Fed funds rate up above inflation at this point. So is their best hope that the year-over-year numbers just start trending down and that some of those other ancillary things like supply chains in Ukraine finally start working themselves through the system?
Yeah, the Feds right now, they need all the help they can get, and they've been late, you know, in addressing inflation, and you know, even when they deliver, let's say, the next 200 basis point of rate hikes, they're still going to be nowhere near in getting near that inflation number. The Fed right now knows that there's, you know, large parts that, you know, that are out of their hand. I think what they needed to do was, I mean, they could have controlled the housing market. That's the one thing that, you know, they really should have focused on. I think, you know, going back 6 months ago, that was, you know, I think pretty apparent. I think right now this, you know, the Fed's main goal right now, I think, is not necessarily fighting inflation. It's saving their credibility. So I think that now that they've dug themselves in this hole, I think this is what's going to make the summer very interesting, is that they need to decide whether or not they're going to flip-flop again, and the Fed has been pretty good at that, and I think that they can't risk losing their credibility again, and I think that you might see that they might have to maintain a tough stance on rates. That we'll see what happens, and we'll see exactly, you know, can they do that when growth concerns are becoming a greater focal point. But right now, the economy is still fairly good, and the consumer is able to handle higher rents, higher movie ticket prices, higher food prices. And I think there are expectations that food prices are not slowing down. These increases, that is. This is probably a very difficult environment here for the consumer, it's not. I think you shouldn't be expecting any relief anytime soon, even at the pump. So I think you're probably going to see that a lot of these pricing increases are going to remain sticky. So this is probably going to be a very difficult environment for a lot of these retailers as they're going to be passing along all these price increases. And I think you'll see that when things do normalize, it'll be tough for them to give it back.
Well, that's the thing, right? Higher prices seem like they are here to stay. And remember, inflation started ticking up really a year ago, April 2021. That's when we got that 4.2% inflation reading. And boy, oh boy, we haven't really looked back on that yet, even though we heard a lot about how transitory inflation was going to be. It is sticking around, and that is causing some, I think, worries in the market. But again, this year has been quite weak for markets broadly because of the more defensive nature that investors are taking. And this week, Ed, we do have that inflation number, and people are expecting it to be high. We don't have another Fed meeting until the beginning of May. What's going to matter this month in terms of data, in terms of anything that you are watching that could either help the markets or further drive weakness into them? Because again, we don't have the Fed again for just under a month. So what's going to be important in your eyes to watch this month?
Well, I think this week, what we're probably going to see, there's also on Thursday, we have retail sales for March, which is supposed to show a big rebound. And in addition to that, when we close out the week, we'll have that preliminary look for the consumer sentiment. And that has been in free fall. And I think the expectations, you know, I think are that you're expected to see a little bit of a bounce back here in retail sales. But if you start to see all the consumer indicators showing significant weakness, that will, I think, provide a little bit more of a short-term relief here in the markets pricing in that maybe the Fed will not be as aggressive later on in the year. In addition to that, you're probably going to see that you know, when you take a look at the COVID cases for China, this is a key moment. I think, you know, it's fascinating because they've had you know, I think over you know, yesterday I was reading they had over 130,000 COVID cases but no deaths, but they're still going forward with this aggressive zero, you know, COVID policy. The pushback is growing. Will we see any major tweaks from Beijing? That's the question that, you know, I think it's going to be very difficult to answer. But it's probably something that you're not going to see them really change. I think their tune and with the, you know, the rest of the month, I think that there's a, you know, we get the advanced GDP reading. That's not really going to, I think, move the needle. I think earnings season is going to be key. You'll see hearing what corporate America has to say about the consumer is going to, you know, provide, I think, a good expectation as far as how strong is the consumer, how bad, you know, should we expect price increases over the next couple quarters? And if a company is daring enough to give guidance, that will really, you know, provide, I think, an understanding as far as, you know, well, you know, how optimistic are companies, and that's going to be, I think, providing you with the gauge as far as what the expectations are initially, and you know, obviously the war in Ukraine is always, you know, I think of the front page, and you'll see that. The coordinated sanctioning approach is—it's long, it's slow, and I think that will, you know, continue to drag on over these next several months or several weeks, and you'll probably, I think, be in a similar position by the time we get to that May policy decision.
All right, a couple of things to keep our eyes on, but it does sound like continued pressure for these markets unless something drastically changes. Who knows what that's going to be, but. Interesting again to see we're starting off this week, this trading shortened week, on the back foot, I guess, or the downside, we could say, for a wide range of sectors. Ed, thank you as always for your time, buddy. Hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you.